Yesterday, I stood on a lonely patch of parched grass and cracked sidewalk near a DoubleTree Hotel just outside Boston, surrounded by at least 5 lanes of traffic getting on and off the turnpike and other roads. A sign taped to a pole says it's a Route 64 bus stop. It's stop number 1189. And at 4:59, right on time, a bus pulls up, stopping traffic behind it.
Just a quick question. Does anybody ever take this bus?
Yes.
But from this stop.
Yeah?
Oh, bye.
But even the regular panhandlers here, like Bobby, had never noticed it.
Do you ever see anybody at that bus stop?
What, over here?
No, over there. See that? The island there? That's a bus stop.
I've never even knew it was there because I never see anybody waiting. I don't think people, they'd rather walk up the street than have to cross over.
Yeah.
They use the rest of their life to get to it.
Well, Bobby helped me take pictures. We'll post them at herenow.org. As we ask the question, what makes a good bus stop? And why was this one voted the second worst in America by readers of the transportation website Streets Blog USA in a sort of March Madness-style bracket to find the sorriest bus stop in America? Number one, a stop in Silver Spring, Maryland on the side of the 6-lane Route 29. No sidewalk, no crosswalk, little level ground to stand on. So, what makes a good bus stop? Dave Lazarovsky is project manager at the nonprofit Project for Public Spaces, where he's a member of the transportation team. Dave, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And also with him, David Nelson of the New York City Department of Transportation. Two Davids. David, welcome to you as well.
Howdy. It's a pleasure.
And David, I want to start with you there with New York City's Department of Transportation. I feel I see tons of bus stops in New York. As you hear these stories of, you know, these terrible bus stops, are you thinking, some come to mind that I want to fix?
Yeah, but I think New York has a benefit in that a lot of these worst bus stops are kind of bad sort of because of the context. They're like next to a highway or something. And luckily in New York, typically, you're in like a nice urban form,
right?
A really comfortable neighborhood,
right? And you have so many people who use bus transportation in New York, so many more bus stops. Dave Lazarovsky, again with the nonprofit Project for Public Spaces, what is your thinking about bus stops? What do you guys, you know, how do you view bus stops there?
I think our approach to bus stops is that they're more than just sterile kind of forms of infrastructure. I think we see them more as potential public spaces that can connect a community, can be real assets to a community. David and I actually did a project in Pittsburgh looking at 2 frequently used bus stops and how you can sort of convert them to function more like a public space that they're already unofficially functioning as anyway. And like David was saying, what was really great there is that they already had that really good land use. They had a lot of good access to other transportation and just good community facilities that are right in the neighborhood. There was a YMCA right next to the bus stops. There was a senior citizens community right across the street. So people were already kind of there lingering. And it was already kind of the nexus of that neighborhood.
Right. So David Nelson, there now in New York City, you were working with Dave at this nonprofit trying to figure out how to make these bus stops in Pittsburgh better. So what were they lacking?
I mean, before we had gotten there, one of the bus stops had actually had bullet holes in the panel.
Hmm.
So, you know, they just weren't particularly pleasant in their actual design. But the things that made people like them was that you could hear kids on the roof of the YMCA during summer camp. The guy that owned the convenience store just next door to the bus stops would come out and pick up the trash every morning.
Hmm.
So, you know, what they were lacking was actual formal infrastructure provided by the government. But what they had was sort of a good social environment around it that was supporting them.
And there's all sorts of things to think about with bus shelters. Who knew? I mean, they have to be a certain amount of distance from the curb. They have to be open to the street so that, you know, if their back is to the street, people have to come out of them to walk around and see if the bus is coming, things like that. But how else do you make them have humanity?
It doesn't take that much, you know. It really doesn't. And again, as bringing it back to the Pittsburgh example, because it's kind of a tangible example that we both worked on, you know, David mentioned the store owner who would pick up the trash. He also had an unofficial timetable for the buses that he would post near the bus stop because the transit authority did not have that. Just adding these little elements can go a long way. Of course, having some seats, some basic programming. We've seen really amazing bus stops. Paris bus stops come to mind. They were really fantastic. They became almost a destination in themselves. They offered people a little library adjacent to the seating where you could take a book and donate a book. And it almost becomes a public space in its own right where you may not even want to be waiting for the bus, but you're there enjoying a busy street reading a book. And that, you know, that form of infrastructure doesn't really take a lot of money to put in place. It's a matter of management and having a desire to put it in.
Now, David Nelson, now you're with the New York City government. One of the problems towns have is they maybe say they can't afford this, shelters for bus stops. But we're understanding there's a move to get private companies who might buy advertising anyway to, you know, be promised the advertising space on a shelter if they build it.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the biggest misunderstandings about bus stops is just how complicated their sort of ownership and management is and how cut up it is. And that's why a lot of bus stops are bad is cities sometimes own the infrastructure, but transit agencies decide where the stops are. Transit agencies might own shelters, but cities might own buses. And both of them might be contracting out the actual physical material and its maintenance to – and usually are – to an advertising company like – you know, just one of the major outdoor advertising companies, you know, because these are like a city bus bench is easily 400 pounds a piece. You're talking about, you know, for a medium sized U.S. city, like a minimum, you know, cost just to run the advertising for those bus stops, like $1 million a year kind of contract.
Wow.
You're talking about like a lot of money and a lot of material.
Dave Lazarovsky, you know, you might ask, why are so many bus stops in disrepair? And we're guessing it's because in a lot of places, certainly not busy Midtown Manhattan, but in a lot of places, you know, the people who take the bus might be lower income people or people who don't speak English and don't have a voice.
Absolutely. I mean, there's definitely an equity element here. And at the end of the day, you know, transit in this country often takes the back page regardless. But bus transit, for whatever reason, there's an added stigma. Buses are just not well-liked. And there's been, you know, scholarly articles written about this, but there's a stigma associated that this is for low-income people and we don't want to make more of an investment for it. You know, that's why you do just see a kind of a stick in the middle of a commercial corridor, freeway, what have you, because the people who would want better service usually don't have the means to, as you mentioned, voice that concern.
Right. Well, it sounds as if for sheer safety, for getting people on buses at a time when you are trying to get cars, you know, off the road and get people to share transportation, it would seem as if it's a pretty simple solution to make the bus stop safer, better lit, more appealing.
Yeah, I mean, I think people underestimate the cost. You know, this is public infrastructure, so it has to be able, you know, to withstand a minor, you know, like bump of a truck. Again, like bus benches being 400 pounds, you know, these are serious pieces of infrastructure. So that's why, like, doing a really nice bus stop easily cost a third to a quarter of $1 million. It's the same reason why you talk about that amount of money to add traffic signals at an intersection. You know, it's computer equipment, moving utilities, moving curb lines, and just the fact that this has to withstand the elements 24/7, 365. You know, it's much more expensive than the public perceives or thinks it should be.
That said, I would argue that now as we look at just capital projects, you know, I feel like for transit, usually the way the country views transit, we want light rail, we want heavy rail, we like that. But capital projects, the cost, the heavy cost, the burden of that is showing that they're extremely expensive and we're moving to what we're calling enhanced bus service. And so you see a lot of cities actually converting to doing exactly what you said, making better bus stops, having kind of above-ground subways, as they're called, like BRT service, which are make express stops where you pay at the curb and it expedites the process. And so there you'll see better amenities. You'll see real time, you know, for the bus when they arrive. And these little things make a huge difference for the commuter.
And they allow you to sort of short-circuit that stigma by branding it as a different – it's not the bus. It's
enhanced
select bus service.
Right.
It's bus rapid transit. It's not the bus.
It's not the bus. Well, a lot of people depend on the bus. I tell you what, we want our listeners to weigh in with their thoughts. There was the March Madness bracket, but if you've got a bus stop you feel was left out or a bus stop that's fantastic, we'll post pictures also of bus stops that are terrific. Wow, to have a little library and a bus stop. David Lazarovsky is project manager at the nonprofit Project for Public Spaces, and David Nelson is with the New York City Department of Transportation talking bus stops. Thank you both.
Thank you.
And we're already hearing from the bus riding community. Sam Tannenbaum tweets, more buses would mean less time spent at bus stops. And if Uber uses the stops, charge them to help fund improvements. Again, your thoughts and your pictures. We're looking for them at hereandnow.org.